Welcome to Business Success Radio. My name is Anthony Turner, and I'm going to be your host as we chat to everyday small business people about their journeys, their challenges, and hopefully gain some tips about how we can all make our businesses better. Today, my guest is Jackie Hicken from Jackie Can, who's a lady who's got a very strong interest and passion and life around food. Jackie, welcome to Business Success Radio.
Hello, Anthony. How are you today?
I'm absolutely excellent, and I trust you are the same.
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm doing this, and then later after this, we're going off and making lollies.
While I
was sitting here talking to you, someone booked and paid for a cooking class, which I find, you know, I still get a thrill out of actually getting customers. So, yeah.
That is really fabulous. And so tell us, you know, I know a little bit about your background, having sort of read your bio and all that sort of stuff, but our listeners don't. Tell us a little bit about how you come to be doing cooking classes.
So I have a cooking, what I call a cooking school and food studio in a place called Merby North in South Gippsland. I moved here around 13 years ago. I'm a tree changer, but I'm not a traditional tree changer, as in I moved back to the area I grew up in, as opposed to I moved to an area where I don't know anyone. So I grew up in South Gippsland on a dairy farm, daughter of a dairy farmer and a deep sea fisherman. I was always the cook in the family. So I was the oldest child. So I did a lot of cooking. You know, we grew vegetables. I don't know if we grew vegetables. When I was really young, Mum used to make bread, preserve stuff, do all those sort of things. I would cook to amuse myself. I had this strange idea that when I was a teenager that I was going to go off and actually become a television technician. Mm-hmm. And work in TV in outside broadcasts, which outside broadcasts is basically any sports program you see on the TV is an outside broadcast.
Yep.
So I went and trained in electrical engineering and went off and became an outside broadcast technician after, like, which is, you know, it's even now, this is 20 years ago, so even now women don't actually work in that field. It's not a very common women field.
Yeah.
I travelled around Australia doing cricket, NRL, football, all those sort of sports. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't actually like sport, so I like making television, not actual sport. So, but it happens to be sport is what you make
yes.
when you work in that field. So I did that and then surprise, believe it or not, this is before the Me Too movement and women don't actually work in engineering in commercial television networks. It's not a norm. So I burnt myself out.
Okay.
Badly, pretty badly. Mm-hmm. It's taken me about 20 years to recover properly. And I left television. I didn't really leave because I have a partner, husband, business partner, and his business is still doing exactly the same thing that we were doing when we met 20 years ago. So I still have a lot of contact with engineering and commercial television networks. I just don't personally work there. So I also had this silly dream when I was a kid, same thing as being a television engineer. I thought I would, when I was old, like 30, I'm going to move back to the South Gippsland, grow vegetables and cook. Like, you know, because when you're 16, 30 seems like ages away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, now 30 seems ages away too. So after I burnt myself out, my husband said, well, he wasn't a husband then, but he said he'd support me to move back to the country, grow vegetables and cook on the condition that I went back to school and trained to become a chef. And got some experience as a chef. So I went back to TAFE, got a job washing dishes, worked in catering, worked in hotels, did a bit of service jobs. And then 13 years ago, we bought this house and property in Merby North and moved to South Gippsland to start Jackie Can. So we've taken 13 years of building the garden, building the restaurant, filling in all the bits of paperwork. So there's been a lot of paperwork. And we started Jackie Can, my actual business, Jackie Can, started trading in 2012. For me, it's been a gradual process. We started off with opening one day a month, then one day a week, and then 3 days a week. And then currently in hospitality, you hear a lot about problem with people trying to find staff. Well, where we live in a small country town is actually really hard to find staff. It already was really hard to find staff. So at the end of 2000 and 18, I think, was before the pandemic, we closed the actual cafe part of the business and just concentrated on doing cooking classes. So through 2019, we did cooking classes. And then because I'm somebody who's been involved in a lot of things and done a lot of things, I'd done a bit of crisis planning, especially around, which we'd done a lot of crisis planning around bushfires. And so there's, what's your crisis plan if the town burns down and there's a catastrophic event? So for me, once the pandemic hit, we actually implemented our crisis plan, which in my case was close the business. So we closed down the cooking classes to the public, and spent from March last year, 2020, to November, hunkering down and working on things, not in things, and then relaunched again. Well, not relaunched, but reopened again in November 2020. And we've been sort of plodding along since then doing cooking classes. I'm not pushing the publicity of it at the moment because, or marketing of the actual cooking classes, because I'm waiting for, you know, I got sick of last year, I had to refund all the money for cooking classes and give vouchers for people. So
yeah,
you know, it's better to, I'm going to save my marketing and pushing that we're existing till this thing is pretty much over, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I guess this is one of the big things that many people in the food, hospitality and travel related businesses have found, is this, you know, this on again, off again business. Yep. And, you know, it's very, very hard to plan. One of the things I did like, that I heard you saying, talking about before, is that you actually had a risk analysis in place and a disaster recovery plan in place.
Yeah, well, I actually, this is going to be a funny story. So in February 2020, I run my local business group. So I have a little informal networking group that I have just in the town, and we'll have a guest speaker, and I've set it up so that no one has to pay to come, and I find people who, as their job, can come and speak. So in February, we had the economic development coordinator from the Shire come and speak about crisis planning. Mm-hmm. And I did say to him, so what happens when coronavirus shuts us down? And he said, oh, no, it's not going to happen, And I'm like, yeah, well, he's like, and no, but you won't get coronavirus. I said, I'm not scared of getting coronavirus. I live in Merbu North. Like, I can separate myself from society quite well. But what happens when it shuts down the economy? Oh, it's not going to happen, 3 weeks later, we're all sitting at home staring at our computer screens, shutting our businesses. Yeah. And so for me, because I'm fortunate that I work in the property that I own, so we don't pay lease, we can take steps to, if there's something like a bushfire and the community and the town can't, you can't operate because, you know, it's not safe to be on the roads, for example, then I can shut the business because it's my business, it's my property, it's on my house, if that makes sense. It's just fortunate for me that we've done that. It's also a bit of financial conservative, like we've been financially conservative. Yep. You also then don't spend, if someone books a cooking class, you don't spend the money that they've paid and you can refund it. And then on top of that, which makes it a little bit easier because we've got the whole online portal payment system set up, you just click on a button and go refund, send the money back to people. So as long as you don't spend it, you can give it back to them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. So, Jackie, some of the challenges, you talk about burnout and particularly and coming back from that. I mean, somebody who myself has been through that process a couple of years back, I had been a lot of work and my mother was dying and a whole range of things and traveling backwards and forwards from Melbourne to Geelong and, you know, this blah, blah, blah. And you get pretty exhausted. And you're right, it can be a very, very long road. Lots of other people, particularly in these times of, you know, disasters, we've had fires, floods, you know, disease, all these sorts of things. It almost sounds like the apocalypse, doesn't it?
it does a little bit.
What would you suggest, to some of the businesses, maybe for the warning signs to sort of start looking after themselves, but also methods that they might be able to use as business owners to manage their way through something like that?
Well, I still suffer from burnout. So from my perspective, I was diagnosed with depression 20 years ago, and I've come to the conclusion that it's not a It's something I live with. It's like part of my, sometimes I'm better than other days, and yep. I still have episodes. I still have bits where I'm like, I'm not leaving the house. I don't leave the house. Yeah. And I've learned this is, I can tell you about this, but I actually don't put this on the social media. I don't ever post. I very rarely post, I'm not feeling great today, or I never post my business isn't going crap, or, haven't posted coronavirus sucks or anything, you know.
Yep.
So I think you have to learn to take time for yourself, and you have to learn to walk away from it. I am getting a bit antsy at the moment, because the one thing that I would do as my, this sounds really weird, but the one thing that I do as my time out from the business, I can't do at the moment. So I'm finding that personally a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, my time out thing is I actually go to Melbourne. Like, okay. You know how people from Melbourne, from the city, they come to the country for a relax.
Yep.
I'm the opposite. I go to the city and no one knows me. And I go to a restaurant, and I go to a personal trainer, and I have a massage, and I do all those. So I do those sort of things.
Yeah.
So you have to have time away and time out.
Yep.
You also have to do one thing at a time. So you do one thing, and sometimes you just go, oh, well, that thing's not that important. And you learn to say no. You learn to say, no, I don't want to do that event. No, I don't, can't do.
Yeah. Choose not to participate or whatever it might be. Yeah. Exactly. Makes a lot of good sense, because I think small business owners, and many that I've spoken to, they tend to feel responsible for obviously for their staff, if they've got staff, for the community and smaller communities, and they've got to be the pillars and everything else. But people don't realize that whatever the individuals are going through within the town, you're going through that plus all the other stuff.
And yes.
I had an interesting chat with Patrice O'Brien from Beyond Blue about this very subject and various things that are available. And for any of the listeners who don't know about it, there is a program, which is the new access program through Beyond Blue for small business owners, and would thoroughly recommend. It's a free program where there's support by coaches who are ex-business people themselves, rather than psychologists and everything else, to actually help guide you through this if you're getting stressed out. So
being a small business owner, I understand how much stuff you need to know, because it's amazing. No one outside of small business knows how much stuff you need to know, and I spend time talking to people that are starting up new businesses, and the amount of stuff that they don't realize that you need to know. For me, it's been Jackie Can's been a 12-year journey, but I've been running the other part of the business, which is the television engineering part, since 2007, so 14 years or something, mm-hmm. How long that is. I don't know, some time. And so I've learned to do all the things that you have to do for running a small business. And I was like, it's the end of financial year, so I've done the tax returns, I haven't done them, but I've processed the books. I do all the bookkeeping. I was doing the STP and thought, my husband keeps offering to take over the accounts, and I'm doing the STP thinking he would never, it's one thing to do the accounts and input reconciliations and do an invoice, but there's all these other things you have to know how to do too. And if you don't know how to do them, you get yourself in a little knot, or you have to pay somebody else to do them for you.
Yeah.
And, and you keep getting given more and more tasks to do as a small business owner, more and more things, more and more tick boxes you have to tick. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, that as the pressures build for small business owners to comply, I mean, we've got a whole range of new changes at the beginning of July about superannuation pay and all sorts of things that have all got to be enacted that people need to be aware of, and find out about if they're not. But I guess the thing is that, one of the key things that I sort of often talk about is that there are now many options to not have to do it all yourself. There are certainly lots of systems that make life a lot easier, so electronic systems and everything else. And if you don't know how to do it, business owner, I'd get one of your kids to show you. They'll be able to do it quite
well,
quickly.
Going back to the crisis planning stuff, like for me, like especially around natural disasters, so I'm like, well, if there's a natural disaster, I'm going to go stay at my parents' house, which is in the center of the city, take the dog and off. And I know what I need to pack, if that makes sense. Like I worked all that out. And then on the way driving out of town, I'm going to ring the insurance broker and say, guess what? I've left town. Like, if there's something, if something happens to the house or the town or there's a flood, then there's somebody else's job to look after it. Like, that's why I have an insurance broker, if that makes sense. It's not so much about the cost or the cost of insurance, but it's about if something does happen, he's not in the community that I live in. So therefore I can ring him and say, hey, guess what's just happened? Can you fix it?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like the, we ran into a kangaroo in the car. I rang the insurance broker. What do I do? Take it here. He takes care of it. It's not, that's what you mean by you need other people to help you do stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jackie, talk about the food side of the business for a little while. You mean you've sort of been building up, you've got your own garden area there. So you cook and you play.
So we have, at the moment, we're limiting the cooking classes that we do. So I'm going to go and make lollies after this. So I've got a group of ladies coming and they're going to make mustiques, alcoholic or fruit gums, depends on what they choose. And they're going to make lollipops. It's amazing how ladies get excited about making lollipops. We also, so we do that, we do macarons and we do preserving. So they're the classes that we're offering at the moment. We're limiting due to different things. And then we do these pick and cook classes, which we call walk amongst the weeds. So I've got a 3/4 acre vegetable garden. Nearly everything in the vegetable garden is either edible or a companion plant for things that are edible. So it's the middle of winter now. If you go look out to the garden, there's at least 30 or so more things that you can eat of some description. So we pick products from the garden and then we together have a 3 or 4 or 5 course meal, depends on, you know, how much stuff is available. And what I don't grow, I source locally. So I source all my meats from directly from a farmer, cheese from the cheese factory. I use the local milk, the local cream, local butter. So I do all that as well. So I get flour from the local baker who, if I have a larger event, I'll buy bread from the local baker, that sort of stuff. So everything's either made here. And then on top of that, I preserve all my own produce. So I'll grow all my own tomatoes, make all my own chutneys, do all that sort of stuff as well. So I'm living the idyllic tree changer dream. So I meet a lot of people who want to live the idyllic tree changer dream, and I'm actually living the ideal tree changer dream. So all our time is spent outside of business structure stuff, gardening, doing that. So like that's what we do. I found, this sounds really weird. So now with COVID, I used to do it so that we would all communally cook a class together and eat the meal. Now it's more you do a little bit on the edges and I do most of the cooking, which is fine, actually runs smoother. But when I make those fancy sort of dome desserts, like your Adriana Zumba type domes with the layers, you cut them and there's like 4 different colors inside and stuff. Well, it's amazing how excited people get about putting that on a plate themselves and then putting some edible flowers on it. I let them garnish it themselves. So they'll go and pick there's a plant called pineapple sage, which is a salvia, which they use on shows like MasterChef all the time, but you don't buy it in the supermarket, do you? So, you know, I let them pick them, they sprinkle it on. It's very exciting. And then they take it. They actually, you see them like, they get to pour the glaze over the top like it's a TV show, and then they put their flowers on, and then they take a picture of it with their phones, like, look what I made, when they literally did the last 1%. Yeah. But I don't, you know, that seems to be the most exciting part of the class.
Fabulous. So, Jackie, something you touched on there in that conversation was that the way that you collaborate. And I actually see that, you know, for those small business owners who might be listening who haven't thought about it, there are many ways in which different types of businesses can collaborate with one another. And I think particularly in smaller communities, it's probably easier. But even within city environments, it's really important to look at those people that can actually enhance your business. Whereas, you know, in the past, we always saw the other businesses as competitors and sort of stay away from them.
Well, I don't do that. I use the other coffee shops down the street all the time. And because I used to be able to do catering, and I can still do it. I have all the tickets to do it, but I find because I'm concentrating on cooking classes that when someone says, can you make sandwiches? You're like, I don't really have the stuff anymore to make sandwiches. I'm the person who goes, no, you can try this business and that one's better for that catering. And here's their phone number. I'm very good at collaborating in that way. I'm also very good at using what resources are around me and the local, like everybody else's produce. Sometimes if you come to a walk amongst the weeds class, I've had people say to me, you're like the local tourist information center. You can give out and you'll, and you can stay here. And if you go and drive here and that farm gate's open on this day and that's where I got this from. Like that's, I do that all the time. I probably should do more of it. I'm looking this year at, I think to get, once COVID is settled down a little bit, of looking and getting my message out just basically through collaborating at things. Like I know of someone who does events in the city who are very small pop-up events at a venue, and I'm planning for the next 3 months to be in Melbourne every Monday and Tuesday. So I thought I might message them and say, oh, can I have a, can I put on, be one of your speakers at one of your things on a Monday night, pick a Monday night. I'll bring down some preserves. We'll have a chat about life as a tree changer.
Yep. As a, cool.
Yeah. So that's what you have to do all the time. You have to collaborate with other people all the time to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important. I think, you know, in today's society, we're sort of, you know, as we're becoming more isolated, and so the more opportunities to collaborate and connect is, you know, what I see as being very, very important in business. Jackie, just because we are running out of time, yeah, if there are a couple of key tips that you might give other small business owners who are listening about, you know, some of the benefits or pitfalls of, you know, working from home, maybe, because exactly what you're doing.
I'm at the moment, I'm in that bit where self-motivation is really hard. Like, oh, I've got to work again today. That's just the stage I'm at. I've been a bit like that for a little while. So I'm finding that difficult. But you just keep doing it. Like, you just, every day, you make sure you do something every day. I'm in the fortunate position where, you know, it's not a shop that you have to open up the door and make sure you open at a particular time. But you make sure you do something every day. When you're not feeling like you need to do something, sometimes you still have to do it. And the customers seem to still turn up. And you have to, the one biggest tip that I would have is you have to sell yourself. You're the only person. Regularly I see comments from people going, I want someone else to market me. Well, you're the only person that can market yourself successfully, if that makes sense. You're the person that has to get out there and tell your story and say why you're doing something, and you're the person has to be seen to be leading your business. If that's, you know, that's how you get people to turn up. You can't passively just sit and wait for other people to share your message, because they probably won't do it, or they, you know.
Well, at the end of the day the reality is you're the one who knows your message the best. Jackie Higgin, thank you so much for being part of Business Success Radio today.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Success Radio podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, simply check Biz Success Radio on your current podcast player, or visit us on our website, businesssuccessradio.com.au.